God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Pastor Pinda is a pastor of a strong Christian church, Middleburg, which is a part of the United Denominations, originating from Lighthouse Group of Churches. His mission is to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, and raise the dead throughout the world. Pastor Pinda has a passion for soul winning and church planting. Be ready for a supernatural encounter as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we are grateful for this morning. Thank you for gathering us. Thank you for sharing your word with us. Our lives are about to be transformed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You may take your seats. Hallelujah. Can you give me the iPad, please? Can you give me the iPad? Hallelujah. Welcome to church. I hope you are well. Amen. I want us to continue speaking on spiritual maturity. Amen.
Amen.
That you cannot be in the house of God and be at the same spiritual level for the rest of your life. There needs to be movement in your spiritual level. There needs to be movement in your spiritual level. Hallelujah. There needs to be growth in your spiritual level. Now, you see, in the house of God, to be old physically is not the same as to be old spiritually. It's not equivalent. It doesn't mean that if you are older, it means spiritually you are more mature. No, it doesn't mean that mangabe ukulile physically. It means that spiritually you are also mature. Spiritual maturity is not equivalent to age. Also, spirit. Can you pick up his volume, please? Spiritual maturity also doesn't mean that you are, you know, when you have been in church longer, it doesn't mean that you are more spiritually mature. So it doesn't mean that if your neighbor has only been in church for 1 year and you have been in church for 10 years, you are spiritually mature than your neighbor. Spiritual maturity is not equivalent to you being born again longer than another person.
Media,
reduce his volume on the monitor, it will give an echo. It's giving an echo. The monitor is too high. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The monitor. Ox. The monitor. That's why we have an echo. It's still giving an echo. The gain is high. Pick up the volume and not the gain. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's better. Now, sometimes you can get born again, it's not okay. It's still giving an echo. Sometimes you can get born again earlier than your neighbor. But your neighbor is more spiritually mature than you.
Listen, yes, Kato, umakolo akala gno makelone wako tolo utuwe. Umakelone wako nguyelo kulilega moya gnawe.
Now, a lot of people equate spiritual maturity to how long you have been in the church. How long you have been born again. And age. And sometimes, you see, when you see a smaller pastor like me, who's not dressed this week and the next week, I'm not going to be dressed in any suit. No. I have set aside the suits. There's no need. Because spiritual maturity has nothing to do with your suit and how you look. I mean, all these things, they are things that we have created. But you see, I want us to know what is proper spiritual maturity. Because you see, sometimes you arrived just yesterday in church. And some people, they say that, you know, I can't do anything in the church up until I've been around the church for some 5 years. And when you ask the person why, the person will say that I'm waiting, you know, to be around and to mature. There is nothing like that in the Bible. You know, from day one, when Jesus met Peter, on the first day, he met Peter. He said, come, I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, stay around the church. And then one day I will tell you that you will be a fisher of men. This is because the church in general has backslidden. We have backslidden. I mean, Jesus started preaching when he was 30 years old. By the time he was 30, he was a man of God. We are saying a man of God should be someone who is very senior. Someone says that for you to be a pastor or a servant of God, you must be old because you must know the issues of life. We do not preach about the issues of life. We preach the word of God. We do not preach our experiences. We preach the experiences of the Spirit of God. That's why you hear someone and say that these days there are these young pastors who think they can preach. Because listen, we equate spiritual maturity to age. We equate spiritual maturity to dress code. You will see a person, once he says he's a serious Christian, from that day he cannot dress properly. The day you say that you are a serious Christian, now you are wearing Bermuda pants like this. You are wearing kicken bobozas with crocodile skin, alligator shoe. And then now we say that, Chale, once we see you like that, we say, this one is a serious Christian.
No.
That is not spiritual maturity.
Now,
spiritual maturity, one of the things that shows that someone has matured spiritually is the person begins to know the why. When you are immature spiritually, you do not know why. Pastor, what do you mean that you do not know why? You do not know the reason why things are done in a certain way and why they must be done that way. When you are spiritually immature, you will not even know why in the church we take two offerings. In fact, you might be even offended because you come from a church that takes one offering. You do not know why. You do not know why young people must be in the church. You do not know why you should not drink. You see, when you are spiritually immature, most of the time you make this statement. You say, my pastor said. And you usually say, somewhere in the Bible. You will say, somewhere in the Bible, God said, turn water into wine. But spiritual maturity demands for you to know why things are done in a certain way. And why certain things should not be done. I see you maturing. I said, I see you maturing. And from today, I'm going to tell you some of the whys so that you mature. Like a child.
njengengane.
A child doesn't know why mommy is going to work.
Ayazi ingane ukuthi umama uyelana emsebenzini.
They do not know why. When you look at your child just says I want food.
Ingane yakuvela ithi ngifuna ukudla.
They do not even know even why they are going to school. They think they are going to school for their friends. That's why when you separate a child with their friends, he will be angry at you.
Ungawona umhlukanisa nomngane wakho uyakugwadela.
I remember myself.
Ngiyasikhumbula nami.
Here is my friend from high school. This guy who's interpreting. We are naughty together. The same guy with spectacles. This is my high school friend, if you don't know. This one. It's my high school friend.
Ngumngane wami lesikolana esikolweni.
When I was in grade 10 going to grade 11. My father. So my mom stays in Swaziland. My dad used to stay in Jersey. Now my dad came to me and told me that, you see, Swaziland has only one proper university. It's University of Swaziland. There's no medicine. There's no engineering. There's no all these courses.
And there
are no opportunities. At that point in time in Swaziland, there were only two mines. No, three. Mbaga, coal mine, Maloma, coal mine, and here at Ingwenya. Okay, four and Vogoluago. Diamond mine. Four mines. So my dad is a chemical engineer. That is his thing. But he never used it. He likes business. So he told me, my dad, he was in Jersey. He said, you must come and stay with me. When you finish grade 10, you must come and stay with me so that from grade 11, grade 12, you can do matric. If you stay in Swaziland and do O level, you will not be admitted to a university here in South Africa. You will need to do another year. Because South African universities want A level or matric. You can't come with your O level, which in Swaziland they get O level. I said, okay.
That's okay.
And my dad told me that you must become a metallurgical engineer. That is why in grade 11 you must come and stay with me.
That grade 11.
Pinda, yeah. Pinda. Somebody say Pinda.
Pinda.
Which is me. Because I do not know the why. And I am a child. I looked at my high school friends. We were a group of 11. Very cool guys. Naughty kids. I was one of the naughtiest kids in the school. This pastor of yours. You can't believe it. But he knows. He should not tell you any story. But don't keep up my files. You know, I was one of the naughtiest people in the school. In fact, at some point in time, I caused the whole school to go on strike. And burn tires. And burn, like it was Sarafi. It was Yizo type of a thing. I led the whole Yizo movement at school. Some of the people were even arrested. Some of the students. Me, I was free. No one arrested me. I was just the mastermind. Small boy like me. But you see, I chose my friends over going to stay with my father. My father wanted to take me to a fancy school called Parktown Boys. This boys' school, you know, those fancy, expensive schools. He wanted, I refused. I remained with my mom in Swaziland in a public school because I wanted to enjoy with my friends. And I stayed until grade 12. And finished. When I finished, what my father had said was true. Now, I had good results. I was amongst the top 15 in Swaziland. I was in number 11 in the whole country. Me, the whole me. Don't think to be a pastor you must be uneducated and stupid. We are not preaching because of that. Most people, Asina kugya fail eskolweni sale kuba ngumfundisi iP Bible School. That is why we think the kingdom of God is nothing. Now, I was in number 11 in the whole country. But can you believe it? I couldn't gain even UNISA. They couldn't take me. Because of the syllabus. I did not know the why. And I had to come now and do another year of grade 12 matric. Again! As smart as I was, because of this guy, I wasted another year of my life. Because I did not know why I was in school in the first place. I thought I was there for friends. And some of us, yes, you are in this church. You do not know why. You are saying you are a Christian. You do not know why. You don't do certain things, you do not know why.
But
maturity demands that you know the reason why from the Bible. Clap your hands for Jesus. Now, already you have seen that if you do not know why, your things will be delayed, just like me. Your things will be delayed because you do not know why. I'm about to preach.
Oh,
I'm the one appointed to preach here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to give you some few whys. Are you here or you have gone home?
Yes.
Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, quickly, Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says that we henceforth no more what? Children. Tell your neighbor, don't be a child anymore. Child in the physical, pastor. No, in the spirit. No longer be what? A child. Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. What does that mean? Anything that comes out, you follow it. Any emotion that you have, you follow it. I feel like I don't want to study. You don't study. I feel like I don't want to come to church. You don't come to church. I feel like not opening my Bible. You don't open it. I feel like I don't want to pray. You don't pray. You are a child being tossed around. And the Bible says that we should no longer be what? Children. Children. One of the things that you must be afraid of is shouting and say, I feel like it, so I'll do it.
Hey,
I get worried when a person says that. What if I feel it, pastor?
Hey.
You say, I feel like taking my life. You feel it. Hey, you are feeling like taking your life. It's not to be spiritually minded. You need to mature. Wow. Say, I feel rejected, but I'm not rejected.
Yeah.
I feel rejected. I feel unwanted.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel like I'm an orphan, but God is my father.
Amen.
I feel like I'm fatherless, but I have a father in God.
Yes,
I feel useless, but the Bible says I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I feel sick, but his stripe, I am healed. Yes, I feel like I'm not born again, but I know that if I confess Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, the Bible says I am born again. Some of us, each day we feel not born again, we give our lives to Christ again. How many times can you become born again? You are only supposed to get born again once. It doesn't mean that each time you sin and you feel bad, then you must become born again. You keep giving your life to Christ many times. No. It says we should not change it. Change the version. I'm about to finish preaching. Then we no longer be immature. Immature. Like what? Children.
Not that you are a child. We are not insulting you. We are saying spiritually, you are immature like a child.
As it talking.
Pastor, how do I know that I'm immature? We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. When a child, the pastor says, eat grass, you eat the grass. He feeds you a frog, you eat the frog. He gives you a snake. Yes. When you are immature, the prophet says, come to my house to remove bad luck. I will bathe you at night, be naked like a banana.
The whole you.
You are being battered with chicken blood at night.
You
are tossed around.
We are pursued
by every new teaching and wind of doctrine. That's why people are eating grass. They are eating frogs. Eating snakes. Being doomed.
Baba
drinking beer and say it's holy. In church.
Somebody's got
it's because a lot of Christians are what? Children. It says that we will not be influenced when people try to trick us with clever sounding truths. Clever sounding truths. Yes. We pastors should not be able to trick you because you know the word of God. How can a Christian, you are there at night, someone is prophesying you, he has made you to be naked. Where is this verse that you, this man of God is applying? It's because you don't know the why. How can you become rich by killing a goat? How many goats? The lamb that we are eating every day. You, with your last money, you have gone to buy a cow, three goats, kill them, and then you are expecting to be rich. These rich white people, which cow did they kill? Which chicken did they give to some prophet? It's only us who do these things. It's only us.
What you are saying, Rev, is very true.
It's true. I'm going to give you some few words. Sit down. You are encouraging me to preach too much.
Oh, yes.
Listen.
You are helping us.
To be a mature Christian, you must know why things are done. You must have reasons for all Christian practices.
Listen,
you must have reasons for Christian practices. Don't just say, in my church we do this. There must be a reason behind it. Like someone will say, why are we taking communion? We didn't take classes for communion. Which class did the disciples take? There's nothing wrong with the class. I am from a church where I took classes for communion.
I understand you.
But you see, you must know why certain things are practiced. You must not just do something because everyone does it. Let me repeat myself. You must not do things just because everyone does it. Do it because you also know it from the word of God. That's why the Bible says that in Acts chapter 17 that the Bereans, they were no more noble than the Jews, because each time the pastor preached, they went to search the scriptures for themselves to verify that if those things were really in the scriptures. Even me, I'm your pastor. I'm saying verify me.
The
Bible says that test all spirits. Try them and see which one is true. Even me, I'm your pastor. I'm saying what I preach, you must go and take your Bible and say,
Don't
follow, was he speaking the truth or not?
Hey,
this one.
It's maturity.
Hey.
It's maturity. I see you maturing in Jesus' name. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, as I'm preaching my powerful sermon, and someone like you is getting blessed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of what? All scripture is given by the inspiration of who?
God.
So once you see scripture, it is inspired by God. Pastor, what does it mean that the scripture is inspired by God?
Bring
your notebook. Bring the notebook.
The tip notebook yako.
Inspired.
Uphefumlelwe.
I'm writing my name.
Ngibhala igama lami.
With a nice handwriting.
Handwriting lenhle.
Man should have been a doctor. The things I'm seeing here, get his signature. Now, listen.
Who wrote here? Don't look at Mesh's handwriting.
Ngoba lo bhala ungayibuka handwriting ya Mesh.
Who wrote here?
Upa pen or me? Pen
Who wrote here? The pen or me? Eh? It's me. Who wrote here? Me or the pen? Okay. When you write your exam and pass, who wrote there?
Now pale exam
it's you. What if the pen rises and says that I wrote here? It was inspired by you. Yes, some people say that God didn't write the Bible. Human beings wrote the Bible. They say Peter was a man. John was a man. Moses was a man. But you do not understand. They were inspired. Just like you are inspired by the pen. Just like you are inspiring the pen. Do you understand now? God inspired the writing, influenced. It's like you standing next to a person. You see, maybe Mesh wants to write something and his handwriting is not good. And he wants to write a love letter to a certain girl. And he has bad handwriting. He will inspire me. He will say, Pastor, please write, Dear Wendy.
Dear Wendy.
And he will inspire me. Who would have written the letter to Wendy? Who? Who? Who?
OBO.
So the word of God. The word of God, the Bible, was inspired by what? God. Even though he used men to what? Write. Clap your hands for Jesus. I'm preaching. Tell your neighbor, this is Champions League preaching.
Tell our Macronauts, Champions League.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. So, the first thing you must understand that the Bible was inspired by who? By God. It was written by one for God. And then you will find certain things. The Bible, it says, under the inspiration of God, is profitable for what? Doctrine. Principles. We find principles in the Bible, not in rich men. I'm sure you saw how the rich men misled us during COVID. They came out as experts. And because they had money, you listened to them. When another person now bought Twitter with money, the whole story changed.
Now,
Twitter.
You see, some of us, we believe in the news more than the Bible.
Abanye bethu sikholelwa kakhulu.
Once you see it on certain news channels, you say it's true. Especially if the channel is from overseas. You take it as true. You don't argue. You even argue with other people that this thing is true. So doctrine, we find it from our grandmothers. We find principles of life from what? The word of God. And it says that the Bible is also good for what? Reproof. Or maybe change it to NLT. Hey, this English. Some of us. I told you I went to a public school. Don't do this to me. I told you I went to a public school. You are trying to confuse me. All scripture is inspired by what? God. Number one, is it some scripture or all? Some or all? Uh-huh. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, not the newspaper. We find the truth in the Bible. To teach us what is what? True. What is true is not what is famous and common. For some of us, when we see something that everyone is doing, we say it's true. When everyone agrees, we say it's true. That is not where we find the truth. Liqiniso silithola eBhayibhelini. What is true? And to make us really realize what is wrong with our lives. That's why angeke uthe nkonzweni sita ku encourage aphinde sikulungise.
Just
to be encouraged.
Don't come to church just to be encouraged.
Some people like to be encouraged. I see you. See you getting married. I see you receiving a car. I see you doing well. Receive it one. Receive it two. Receive it. They say church was very powerful. Yes. Yes. But you see, it says that the word of God is true. What? To make us realize what is wrong in our lives. In your life. Now, sometimes, even when the pastor is preaching to you what is in the Bible, because someone else is saying it, you say you are being judged. That's why it's better you read it for yourself. And between you, God, and the Holy Spirit, you have a quarrel. It's better that way. If they have fussed you, and then you wake up, you read your Bible, and your Bible says you must be unfussed, you will not include me in the problem. You will just come and say, hey, Pastor, I found something. In the Bible, I found a verse. Yes, and the verse says, and we will be saying, glory be to God. Yes, but if now I preach to you some of these things, let's not say what will happen. The people who are like that didn't come to church. In fact, I don't know why I should say these things to you. You are not like that. But you see, it will teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our what? Lives. Then listen, what it will do. It corrects us when we are wrong. And teaches us to do what is right. You see, the Bible doesn't just only point out what is wrong. That is condemnation. Condemnation is to say, you know, you are a sinner. And then leave you like that. That is condemnation. Grace is to say you are wrong, but a way has been made for you so that you cannot remain in this state. God has given you the capacity to overcome this challenge. That is the difference between condemnation and grace. When you are the Bible doesn't point out the wrong things that we are doing only. It gives us the grace or the way out. On top of that, then it gives us a reward for doing the right thing.
Wow.
That is the Bible. Your Bible. My Bible. Our Bible.
God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Amen.
Clap your hands for Jesus. You will be equipped. You will be equipped. So I'm going to just appetize you with some few whys. So that, but after this, I expect you to go and read the why yourself. Tell your neighbor, today we are living with homework. And sometimes when you have homework that you cannot sort out, you are allowed to send your pastor the homework. You are allowed to send me or any leader in the church to say, I have a question. Why? Or is it right? Is it wrong? Yeah, you are allowed to ask me. I'm the guy you can ask. Let me shock you with one. Why do Christians not have close friendships with unbelievers?
Close friend,
you can't say my bestie is an unbeliever. When I ask you, who is your bestie? And you pointed an unbeliever. Why? Is it discrimination? Why? Let me give you one reason. So that you mature. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. Why you are a Christian sister? You can't marry a non-Christian brother. I love him. Why? It's not because the pastor said so. It's not because this church doesn't want you to get married. It is what is in the Bible, baby.
Look,
I want you to read it on your own. If I read it for you, you will beat me. Now, pastor, so what if I've already married the person? There's a different verse for that. This doesn't apply. Do you understand? Because some of you, you have wanted to divorce your husband. You're like, then they'll use me. You come and say, my pastor said. Listen, when you are already married, there is another verse. The Bible says, you are already tied. I'm talking to the ones who are not. Hello. One example. Hey, please, in English. It says that don't team up with those who are unbelievers. It's not me. I want you to read. 1, 2, 3, go. Ganjani, bro. Ganjani. Ganjani, bro. Hey, you see, it's just impossible, man. I've given you one reason. Don't beat me after church, please. I'm not going to preach this section. Why do Christians not watch pornography? You see, the brothers are affected by this topic. You guys, please sit down. You find that you are the ones. Sit down so that you hear the verse. I'm done. Listen, just calm down. So this verse covers a lot of things. It covers porn. It covers dress code.
It covers
like what Pastor Joshua said yesterday, that you shouldn't drink water from a beer bottle. You see, there are some things that the Bible doesn't cover, like explicitly.
But
this verse qualifies them that we should leave them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22.
Oh, yes.
1 Thessalonians 5, 22. We are done.
Oh, yes.
This is, you must then do the rest of the homework. King James, change the version.
King James.
Read here, Bazalwane. I want you to read. 1, 2, 3, go.
Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Abstain from what?
Tetani kuko konke ukubonakala kukubi.
Hey! The way you can watch porn.
Hey!
With popcorns.
Ubukela nama popcorn.
Hey! Double P.
Listen, you know all the stations. You see, for some, I know you are very mature. You have passed these things a long time ago.
But
you see, what does this scripture mean? Now, we had one of our brothers who was during yesterday's meeting. Whose cell group is finished? It's finished. Now, why is the cell group? The members don't want to come anymore. Why don't the members not want to come to the cell group anymore? Now, our church, if you don't know, from Tuesday to Friday, we log in to Zoom and we pray, like our council. We have prayer from 2 to 6. Someone leads the prayer and we all pray. I encourage you to join.
Get the Zoom link.
Our church leads on Friday. Our branch. Yeah, let me put it like that. But we all lead prayer from, we have prayer, dawn prayer every, from Tuesday to Friday.
Now,
this person saw that the members, some of the leaders, this person is in charge of other cell groups or percenters. So he saw that some of the leaders are not joining the prayer. So out of his good heart, he wanted to solve the problem. He rose up with strength, brushed his teeth, took a bus, walked at 4 a.m. in the morning to go to the room of these girls who are leaders in the church, into their commune, to wake them up. He got there and woke them up. Prayed powerfully with them. Encouraged them. Said, sisters, we need to pray. And left at 6 a.m. And they woke him out. They said, bye. And the girls were wearing their pyjamas. And he left. He didn't touch them. He really wanted them to pray. And he made them to pray. But the problem, he forgot about this verse. It appears evil for a brother to be coming out of a commune full of sisters at 6 a.m. He is drinking water in a beer bottle. Now, the other girls who are not part of our church, who are in the house, saw him coming out. And said, they said, they said, these church brothers, they act as if they want to preach. Gani, they have come to chew our sister. One kebab after the other. They said, we will not go to this church again.
Hey.
You see, this guy, his intentions were good.
Lona.
What he did was the right thing.
La kwenza bekwahle.
But the problem, it appears evil.
Kodwa kwabonakala kubonakala kukubi.
It appears evil. He was just water, but it was in a savanna bottle. It's like, let me give you an example. Let's say it's me. I take a photo. Photo. And I'm sitting with her. And then, get a chair. Come here. I'm drinking water. Shy Pialo. And they are my cousins. They are my brothers. This is my sister, my cousin. You guys don't know her. And she's sitting here. She's wearing a mini skirt, my cousin. And oh, no. Don't. You come close. You are in the picture even. And this one, sit this side. But you see, they don't show him. Meshach takes a photo like this. This is my cousin. She's wearing a mini skirt. All of you, you don't know her. And even though there is water,
no,
all of you will not see the water. And you will see the mini skirt. And a girl who's not my wife. I'm finished. The fact that I can explain that this is my cousin doesn't matter anymore. The fact that I can explain that I was not drinking, it doesn't matter. Especially if I'm a famous pastor. Just like me. Do you see? So some of you, what you are doing is not wrong, but it appears wrong. You are always smiling with one man at work. Lunch is the two of you. What you are doing is not wrong, but it appears wrong.
For a Christian.
I know that you are a girl. That friend of yours is gay. Mara is gay, the female version. The male version, I mean.
Girlfriend. You call him
I understand. Now you can now put him in the blankets with you. Because you are saying, gay. We are passing with him, Uriki girlfriend. Please, I'm done preaching. Stand on your feet. You go away. I'm done preaching. No, don't encourage me. Don't encourage me. I think I've made my point. There's no need to continue.
One more.
You are spoiling the church. Go away. We are done. We are done. Pastor, what should I leave with today? This verse. It's very short. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Do you remember? It applies to me. Again. You all confirm that it would have been wrong. You confirm us. Let's close our eyes and pray. We are at the end. Close your eyes. Hey, Father, help us.
Help us.
Now, there are some of us here, we are not born again. We have not received Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. And you are saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven.
And
I want to become a child of God. If you want to be born again, raise your right hand. Raise your right hand. I can see your hand. Raise it. Don't be afraid. Raise your right hand. If you have raised your hand, come forward.
To
you. We're holding nothing. I surrender.
Dear Heavenly Father,
the
people in front, please raise your hands for Pam Sanja. Say,
Dear Heavenly Father,
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Father, I believe with all of my heart.
Father, I believe with all of my heart
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That He died for my sins on the cross.
That He died for my sins on the cross.
And was raised on the third day.
That was raised on the third day.
From today, I'm born again.
I'm born again.
I'm washed by the blood.
I'm washed by the blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.